ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you. Rock on. Wow.
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, everybody, what's up?
And Mr. Sonny Pooney.
Kiss Army, what's going on?
Man, this has been a really exciting week. Thank you. First of all, thank you guys for listening to the last show. Oh, excuse me. I drank a Kiss Army root beer, and the gas is starting to get to me. Anyway, that I said it before, and I'll say it again. That is a belt. Forged by Kiss Army Root Beer. You can't. It's awesome to say. Anyway, so I went today and I bought the I bought some more root beer for the show when we were doing it today, and I've already drank them. They're smooth. They're really good. You guys haven't had a chance. Get them. And Sonny, you don't have a Rocket Fizz, or you do have a Rocket Fizz out there?
It's not close to me. That's for sure.
And Jody, you said it's a good distance away, right?
No, there's one right in the city. So take me maybe 10 minutes to get over there.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been there yet, though.
I'll just bring some for you guys.
Right on.
Because Sonny, as we found out this week, will be at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo with Jody and D Rock and I, and this is very exciting for us.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, time we're gonna meet in person, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're gonna have a lot of fun. And it's going to kick major ass. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but I have to make a couple of announcements. First of all, we want to try to get some iTunes reviews this week. Any of you guys, just take a minute, go and give us a review on iTunes. It would be hugely, hugely appreciated. We hadn't got one in a while, and I really hadn't been pushing. But anybody that posts one, we'll read it. We'll read it right here on the show.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget that you can follow us on iTunes, Podomatic, PodcastRockCity.com. And also, every Wednesday night, Jody and D-Rock and I are on KGFRocks.com live. Okay, so I know it's Wednesday night. It's at 8:30 at night. Plenty of people are listening. You can listen, too. Just go to KGFRocks.com. There's a little player at the top. Click on it at 8:30 Eastern Time. And you can hear us playing Kiss music and talking Kiss. It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's a blast.
It is. We've got some Kiss news.
Podcast Rock City News.
I saw this thing. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. It's a headline that says, Paul Stanley to write and direct Phantom of the Park remake.
Really?
I saw that.
Is it bullshit or is it true?
Well, I read the story, and basically what it says is that there's no script right now, but the talk is that if it gets remade, Paul wants to write and direct it.
I would much rather they did it like in an animated fashion, like Scooby-Doo.
Oh, I agree.
I can't picture them. I mean, what are they going to have, like, the current band, like, doing the basic same thing as the old one?
I don't know. Who's going to play Devereaux? Doing the animated one, animated would kick ass. Get Todd McFarlane in there, man, to do, like, a Spawn type.
That'd be cool, you know,
based off of the Psycho Circus cartoon comic book?
That would be cool. I think I would rather see them look like they do in the Phantom, though, like the classic Love Gun get-ups, you know, rather than those, like, Psycho Circus outfits. But, yeah, McFarlane would still be really cool.
Yeah.
I can't even picture it as live action. Can you? I mean, what are they going to do?
Can't.
And are they going to have, like, the classic lines or what?
I already did once. It was horrible. It's the same thing you saw.
It's so bad, it's good, though, man. I love that movie.
I can't use the word horrible to describe Kiss Me, Stop Phantom. I love it too.
It's just in its own category. You gotta see it.
Yeah, it is.
And I say it, and I watched it the other day because it's a classic. Like, I'm just watching it going, why am I watching this? But I had to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the live parts are great.
Yeah.
You know, for me, when I first saw it, it was the whole fact that, you know, I had never really seen much footage of Kiss except photographs, never of them, like, in the Love Gun outfits walking around and shit, besides live in a concert situation, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I did see another post from comedic genius Courtney Cronin Dold that Gene Simmons canceled both shows out in California. Now, that affects Sonny. I'm sorry, Sonny.
Yeah, that really sucks.
But there's no explanation yet as of right now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's no explanation. I bought the tickets through Live Nation, so they haven't refunded the money yet. Ticketmaster says both the 4th and the 5th are canceled because the 4th was at Harrah's Rincon Casino in Funner, California, and the 5th was at was in Riverside. So the first I heard of it is when you pinged me. And what actually funny thing happened is I had just gotten done talking to my wife, and she said, hey, is there any way you can get home on the 4th and 5th? We got stuff going. I'm like, oh, babe, that's the Gene weekend. She goes, oh, okay, don't worry about it. And then the next ping came from you saying it was canceled.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Joe is the king of synchronicities.
Yeah, that really sucks. I'm so sorry I had to give I messaged you because I kind of was expecting you to go, no, that's fake. But then I went on the Ticketmaster thing and I looked it up, and sure enough, it said canceled. And that sucks. But it does mean that Sonny now gets to come to Nashville. It's a good second place to hang out with Jody and I and D-Rock, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
And I could only come up with one of three reasons, right? Either when Gene fell, he hurt himself really bad, and we don't know it. Or
that's an old clip, though.
Oh, that's an old clip. Okay.
Yeah, that clip was from 2016, so it's going around, though.
Or, like, you know, the venues had a guarantee, and maybe they didn't sell enough tickets to make the guarantee. Or they have Kiss shows now on those dates. And I'm sure Paul and Gene had worked out, hey, if the mothership calls, like, this little fun thing you're doing's over.
Yeah, probably. I'm surprised there isn't any, like, released reason. I'm going to have to tweet Gene later and see if he responds. There's got to be a good reason, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
Okay, so I saw this tweet earlier. It's from John Reagan, you guys know him as the bass player from Fraley's Comet, and he's now in 4 by Fate, right?
Yeah.
He posted on the Kiss Cruisers Facebook page, it said, awaiting permission to board captain. So, all these people started going, oh my God, this would be so much fun if we could get 4 by Fate on there, you know, and maybe they would do, you know, some Fraley's Comet tunes. And
I was going to say, is everyone assuming that now it's going to have a Fraley's Comet thing going on?
Well, with Ace? I'm not sure Does that mean Ace would be there, but, you know, but here's the thing. So I read it again, okay?
Yeah.
And it says, awaiting permission to board captain. And everybody's like, oh, we could probably make this happen. And that's when I wrote, wait, I think what he's saying here is they are on the cruise. And then John Reagan liked what I said.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then he messaged me and said, no, but we would love to be part of the festivities. Now, one's got to wonder, is he covering right now? You know what I mean?
Right.
Why would you say awaiting for permission to board? So why wouldn't you say it would be awesome? I don't know.
Yeah.
But well, it's still me personally. I think it would be cool to see them. I like Rob Afuso from Skid Row. I was a big fan. I always thought that he was a really great drummer. I like the stuff that they've been putting out. It's been pretty good, so we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah.
But Todd and John are part of, you know, Kistery in a part roundabout
Kiss
way.
World, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. okay, so that's pretty much it for the news. Some of it's sad, some of it's cool.
Oh, wait, did you see that one tweet from Paul? Paul predicted Mayweather and McGregor.
Oh, that's Mayweather. Right. Yeah.
He's a wise man.
Yeah, well, I think that McGregor, if he feels like he's getting beat, I think he's going to haul off and kick Mayweather and knock his ass out and just get disqualified. That would be so much more fun.
I heard there was like a clause where, like, if he does do anything except clean boxing, he doesn't get paid one freaking cent.
Really?
Yeah, so he probably won't do that. But it would be crazy if, like, Mayweather just kept jabbing him and he triggered him and he just like mounted him and choked him out or some shit.
He triggered him. You know, hey, man, look, all I can tell you is Mayweather's a great boxer, you know, but when I think of McGregor's a killer. You know what I mean?
But this is a boxing match.
It's a boxing match, but we'll have to wait and see what happens because they're both going to be, you know, pros. That's the thing. You know, we're going to have – I would love to see I would just love to see the fight period and see what happens.
Yeah, you know, it's going down the night of the expo, so maybe we'll have a TV on in the venue somewhere.
Oh, okay. That's good. Who do you guys pick?
Mayweather all day, dude. And yeah. I mean, the dude's the best boxer that pretty much ever lived. He's undefeated, and then some UFC guy that's not a boxer is going to take that? I don't think so.
Yeah, but he's 40 now, man. 40 so years what? Old.
He's the king of defense. And McGregor is not really a boxer. But if they were in the octagon, of course McGregor would smash him in no time. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you're talking about one of the best boxers ever against some dude who's never boxed professionally. You feel me?
I don't know. I'm going to wait and see.
Upsets could happen, but I doubt it. I mean, imagine how much that would suck for Mayweather. He's never been defeated ever. And then some dude from the UFC just comes in and beats him. You know what I'm saying? It would make the UFC look amazing.
He did an interview, a radio interview, I believe it was, or it was a podcast. And you can actually hear him if you go on his Twitter account. It's the actual interviews. They have a good long conversation about fighting and boxing, and Paul loves that stuff, man. Not long ago, maybe about a year ago, Paul was sitting in the front row at a WWE event with his kid. I remember that. They didn't even say anything about the fact that he was there, but immediately Facebook lit up. Oh my God, Paul Stanley's at wrestling. Okay, so last week I put a challenge to you guys.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week. Yeah!
I was just curious to pick your brains, and the challenge was if you could take three songs from each one of the Kiss solo albums, the Paul, Gene, Ace, and Peter solo albums, and put together a record, and you know, how would it turn out? And it's hard because most people don't like Peter's album, but it's still doable. So we'll be reading some of y'all's out there too, because I put it on Facebook, and a few of you put your lists together. Even I think a couple of you titled the record and everything, which is pretty awesome, and we appreciate that so much. But how do you want to do this? You want to do like side one each? You want to do side one each? And
I think we should go around the Robin thing
one at a time.
Yeah, that's always better, I think.
Okay, that's fine. Who you want? So, Sonny, you could go first. Wait, let's do this. Sonny did say that he titled his, right?
Oh, man, I geeked out. I got so much stuff on this, cool. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, so before you hit us with your first track, give us your whole approach and all that kind of shit.
All right, so first of all, the producer's Eddie Kramer, because some of my favorite Kiss albums and music has been done by Eddie Kramer. It's going to release on 7/8/78, get it?
Yeah.
Right, 7/8/78, right? I even got album art. So the album's name is Taking Flight. So the reason that I named it Taking Flight is 77-78 is when everything was going on initially with the space shuttle. So Kiss has always kind of attached themselves to stuff that's going on lately. So I figured Taking Flight would be kind of cool. And kind of close your eyes with this album cover. So if you can imagine a 747 flying east to west, Ace is in the cockpit with a pilot helmet on. He's got his head sticking out the window. Gene is on the northern wing, and he's got a bite of the wing already in his mouth, and he's hanging on with like one arm. Cool. You got Peter on the rudder, like kind of leaning as he's standing. and then you got Paul on the southern wing, kind of laying on the wing with his, like, a picture pose with his, like, fist under his chin kind of thing. See, right, like on. I said, I geeked out on this thing. like and it. Obviously, like it'd be, it would be animated, right? So that's kind of what I thought about the whole album. I had other album ideas, other name ideas, but I'll get to those later. And then my opening track on side A is Move On.
Cool.
Okay.
Starting off.
All right.
Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
That's the shit. So let me ask you this real quick. Why east to west? Is there any specific, just because of New York to everywhere else or what?
That's just how I drew it.
Oh, okay.
That was how I originally pictured it and could just kind of drew it that way.
Right on. So you actually drew it up, huh?
Yeah, but I'm stick figures. Like, this is McFarlane here. This is when he was 2 years old, maybe.
Right. I was going to say, you got to post that up somewhere so we can see it.
Yeah, take a picture of it and put it on Twitter. We all want to see it.
Yeah, no, that is not happening.
You guys got, like, a Twitter rivalry going on with this whole feud business.
Yeah. Family feud thing.
With a rematch coming up at some point.
How funny was it that somebody was, I was like, Sonny's coming to Nashville. They're like, just don't get him involved in any Kiss Family feud. Yeah. Who was it that said that?
I can't remember off the top of my head. But that was hilarious.
It was pretty awesome. All right, I'll go next, okay?
So you have like a big elaborate thing too?
No. I just have a title and an idea for a cover.
Okay.
So my idea for the cover would be all four members like standing there like just like next to each other, and each one of them would have like Paul's eye would be kind of glowing, and then Peter's, he'd have his hands out in front of him and they'd be kind of glowing, and then you know, each one of them, right? You know, Gene, his mouth would be open. There might be, like, light in his mouth. Anyway, the name of the record would be Radioactive.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay? Cool. Okay, and the first song would be Radioactive.
Cool. Would you have the whole build-up just like it normally is?
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. We're pretty much using these versions, or, I mean, like, Sonny has Kramer doing them all, so would it be that they re-recorded them, or would they end up sounding just like they already do? That's what I needed to know. I didn't know that for sure.
Don't know. I didn't get that deep into it. Okay. I think in my version, it would just be the songs the way they're recorded.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Like
me too.
Best of the solos, basically.
But, yeah.
Okay. I can work with that.
All right, Jody, you're next.
No, I didn't go like as deep as you guys. I did kind of come up with a title. I think I was going to call my record Duality, all right? Because you'll see why as the track listing goes through. But for a cover, I've always, I don't know, do you guys remember ever seeing like around the time of Monster, people were making like their own alternate covers? Do you remember any of those? I saw this one time where someone made like, it almost looked kind of like a Kiss Monster, but it had like four of the different faces like stitched together, right? And it was just really cool looking, and I would want something similar to that, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry.
I've seen it. Yeah,
it was really fucking cool, but something in that vein. But the whole reason I went with the title Duality was because for me, since like Gene's and Peter's are so radically opposite of Paul and Ace's, you have that duality there within this record, right? So for me, on side A is like the rock side, and it's all the Paul and Ace shit, whereas side B is the more like mellow side. So you have like, you know, light and dark, both, like the duality of it. So anyhow, without getting too much deeper into it, I start this record off with probably the best song of all four solo albums to start a record, and I would say Wouldn't You Like to Know Me.
I knew that's what you were going
to
say.
It's such a rocker, and it's a perfect way to start an album. You know what I'm saying?
It is very good.
Yeah. I love that song. You know how much I love that song.
Yeah, absolutely. When they played it on the cruise, I immediately sent it to you, remember?
Yeah, I was geeking out.
It's really cool. One of the things about this is I steered clear of my Best of the Solo Albums record because I was so afraid I was going to pick it the way
exactly the way it already exists.
And I'm not even sure. I might still be doing that. I don't remember the list of the songs on there, but I steered clear for the whole week to make sure that I didn't do that.
Right on.
Sonny, you're next. Second song, side one.
So I was worried about the same thing with the 78 Best of Solos. So I did mine first, and then, because I had forgotten what was on that, went back, and I'm like, oh, thank God, it's not even close. So on mine, since we started with a Paul song with Move On, my second one was Radioactive. And just kind of going right into the song with Gene.
Cool.
Right on. So skip all the shit at the beginning, basically.
Right, right.
That's what's up.
And see, I wanted to leave it in because at this point in their careers, there was so much controversy about,
yeah,
you know, the devil and Kiss and,
right,
you know.
It works as the first track with that on there, but as a second, yeah, track, not so much.
Not so much. And it's supposed to be like, isn't it supposed to be like demons and nuns talking? Or it's supposed to be like nuns singing or something, I was told.
I'm not sure, but it always creeped me out when I was a little kid.
Me too.
I love that.
Yeah, creep me out too. My second song on side one. So my first song was Radioactive. My second song, I can't wait too much longer to go with Ace, and I go with Rip It Out.
Solid choice.
Solid choice. I think that song, if the reason I did it is because if Radioactive freaked out Kiss fans, Rip It Out would bring them back home.
Totally.
You know? It doesn't matter what follows it at that point. Once they hear Rip It Out, they're going to go, okay, you know, it feels back. It feels normal again. Right. Although Radioactive doesn't feel too far off, you know.
Nah, it's definitely the most Kiss-like from Gene's collection.
From Gene, yeah. Jody?
Okay, so for my second, I had What's On Your Mind, an underrated killer Ace track that I just love the way it starts. And When You Like to Know Me would be over, and then boom, dan it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It would kick ass, and it would keep them listening. So that's why I picked that one.
Yeah,
I love that song.
I do too, man. A lot of people, you don't hear people talking about that one like they do Rip It Out or maybe Ozone or something, but it's a great one, man. Killer acoustics mixed in with the electric. Everything about it rules. So anyhow, that's why I picked it.
Third song, Sonny.
All right, so my third song, I figured Peter couldn't wait much longer. So we went from Move On to Radioactive to Don't You Let Me Down.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, that song's awesome, man.
Yeah. And it'll fit right because my next song kind of picks back up. So.
Well, that's cool. That's a good song. You know, it is hard to pick from Peter. And what you want, you kind of want to give a mixture. You know, he's got a few rock songs on there, but it's old school sounding rock. And my third song is Tossing and Turning.
Yeah. I almost went with that one, but I didn't want to go for a cover tune because everyone seems to get all pissed when Kiss does covers.
Yeah. But I think that it really fits Peter's,
you
know, Peter's way.
That'd be one of the ones that fits the most on a Kiss record for certain.
Yeah. So that would be my third song. Jody?
My third song, we're back to Paul Stanley with It's All Right, another one that sounds just like Kiss.
Yeah, so, that's a good
can't
one.
Go wrong with that. What did you have, Sonny?
So I stayed away from covers too, and my thing was the only way I could figure out how to get Peter songs in here and make them fit right was that I couldn't pick any of anybody else's ballads. So that's why I kind of went the way I went. But my next song, four songs, Speeding Back to My Baby.
Nice.
Love it.
So for me, you went Paul, Gene, Peter, Ace. So everybody got a song in that first four.
That's pretty cool.
Right. I did the same thing. Gene, Ace, Peter, and my fourth song is Wouldn't You Like to Know Me by Paul Stanley.
Woo! That's the shit.
See, so after Tossing and Turning, we get back to rockin' with Wouldn't You Like to Know Me. So if people don't like it, they, you know, the Peter song, they still only have to wait 3 minutes, 25 seconds or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And they get, you know, some rock back.
Totally.
Jody?
Okay, for my number four, I'm keeping it rocking. I had to drop on Snowblind.
Snow, yeah, I love that song.
Right after It's All Right, I'd be like, tch, tch, damn it. You know what I'm saying? I always think of them as far as sequencing them, as far as what would sound cool in order. But anyhow, yeah, Snowblind, killer fucking Ace song. Can't go wrong with that one.
I'm going to put these together for ourselves.
I actually did. I did.
Did you really?
Just in iTunes, just a playlist. Yeah. But it's pretty badass.
Yeah.
That's funny. So I did the same thing because I had it in a different order and I listened to it go, man, that don't flow. So I changed, moved it around my iTunes list, and then it flowed. So
there you go.
So number five, I went back to Gene with Man of a Thousand Faces.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to hear, you know, we did try to get some kind of a continuity, a flow to it.
Yeah. You got to when you're trying to make an album.
Yeah. My number five is Back to Ace with Speeding Back to My Baby. I love that song, man. I love the solo, too.
One of my favorite guitar solos by Ace. Yeah. One of my favorites. Killer.
Even just the intro lick, it's like a classic Ace lick. Sounds killer.
Yeah, it's so good.
So, funny story about that solo. So, you know, we're still getting to know each other. My left ear, thanks to YMT, is about 90% deaf. Because at 19 years old, I wasn't wearing earplugs.
Oh, man.
So, when I'm listening to Speeding Back to My Baby in the headphones, I always thought that there was something wrong with the recording of the solo, right? Well, the other, like about a month ago, I put my headphones on backwards, and the issue was in the other ear, and I'm like, oh my God, it pans. Yeah. That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
Stupid, right?
It's stupid. It's funny.
Years I've been listening to the song, thought there was something wrong with the recording.
So your right ear, you're 90% deaf.
Left.
Left.
Left. Your left ear is messed up. I'm blind in my left eye.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have something called amblyopia. It's where all the muscles in my left eye aren't strong enough. So I see light and shapes, but, you know, if I close my right eye, you don't want me behind the wheel of a car.
Gotcha. Oh.
So if you're going to hit me, do it like Rocky. Come from my left side, and I'm going down.
Damn.
Who are we up to next? We're up to...
Jody, yes.
My number what?
Five.
Five, okay. So on this whole rock side, I had to include Ozone.
Of course.
That one's kind of like about me, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I am that kind of guy.
You are.
So, yeah.
That's cool. That's back to best eight songs on Jody's list. Yeah, that's cool.
This is the rock side of my record. I got a whole concept going here.
Yes.
So to close out side A, I went back to Peter and ended with You Matter to Me.
Love that song.
Yeah, man. That's a good Peter song.
I will tell you, I went back and I'm like, all right, let me listen to Gene's all the way through and Peter's all the way through. And I've always ranked them Paul, Ace, Gene, Peter. I got to be honest now, I rank them Paul, Ace, Peter, Gene.
Wow.
Yeah.
Peter moving up in the world.
Yeah, because Peter's songs, they are listenable, that's for sure, and Gene has some that were a little tougher listen for me.
I hear you.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting. Too, like,
the older you get, the better Peter shit starts sounding to you.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, you start listening to it, and you realize I don't know the word to use. It's not class. It's like
easy listening.
It's easy listening, you know? And it's not that I'm too old to listen to rock or metal. It's just that you start listening to Peter and you start appreciating, you know?
Yeah.
You know, the thing that I'm finding very interesting so far is every time we've done something like this, I would have said Radioactive as my first song, and then Jody would have been, oh, man, that's what I got, too. And so far that hasn't happened.
Yeah.
No.
I kind of consciously steered away from the ones you might expect.
Right, yeah.
Joe's number six.
Yep, Living in Sin at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, you're going to close out side A with that, huh?
Uh-huh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's cool.
I felt like it was pretty strong and a little strange, you know?
Yeah.
But still, like, kind of a stereotypical song for Gene, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, number six for you, Jodai.
For me, number six, I'm going to close out this side, kind of, and it's going to kind of foreshadow what's coming in the next side, but I went with Take Me Away, because I've always loved that song, because I think it's one of Paul's greatest vocals on that particular record, and it kind of starts to, it rocks, but it's the mellowest one on my side A, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But,
it kind of foreshadows this lighter side for this duality concept I got rolling with here.
It kind of helps blend into side two.
Yeah. So if people were listening on a CD or something, it would make more sense that way. But it's also a great closer for an actual piece of wax.
Oh yeah. Okay, so we got to walk over, pick up the needle, flip the record, drop the needle.
Let me ask you guys this real quick. So one of the coolest things about the original Kiss solo records is you get those four killer posters, right? I mean, we use them. I use them for the art for our Facebook thing. But you know what I'm saying? What do you do in that situation? Do you just get a big long poster that comes with them? Or I want those posters still. You know what I'm saying? So if they never did the solo records, what would you have as an insert?
Yeah, that's true, man.
I don't know. Maybe they would give you one of these golden tickets where you send it in and they send you like a badass like mural poster of those four put together, you know, or something.
Yeah. Maybe it would just be a regular size solo albums poster, you know, each one of them.
Yeah. Oh, dude, totally off the subject, but you ever seen that old movie Foxes? With like Cherie Currie and Jodie Foster from back in the day.
Yeah, aren't they going to a Kiss concert or get Kiss tickets or something? No, but
there's
like
all
that
kinds
that?
Of Kiss posters all over the place in that movie. It's really cool. And it was filmed. I'm thinking of something. Like it came out in 80. You're thinking of Detroit Rock City.
No, there's something else. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but Angel plays live in it, and like there's all these Kiss posters, and I heard some Donna Summer and all this shit. It's kind of odd.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of odd.
I'm going to have to rewatch that. There's a movie that I remember seeing. Matt Dillon's in it, and it's about these kids that, like, I think they go crazy in the town, and they're all hiding, and they're talking about going to get Kiss tickets. Maybe that's what.
Oh, is that the one where, like, the kids revolt at the school and, like, start a war with the teachers and shit?
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what that's called.
I'm going to find out. If you're out there, know Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. Nice. You got
he's
in there
like,
quick.
Yeah, that's no way for me on that one.
He's been sitting there waiting. When is this fucker going to say podcast?
Like practicing. His wife's all just say it at random moments. Sonny's got to jump on it and shit.
Podcast Rock City.
All right, side two, turn the record over, drop the needle. Sonny, what you got?
All right, so it was very important for me that no matter what side you put on, you would get a rocker right out the gate.
Oh,
so,
man, we're going to have the same song now. Go.
Right, so I had Move On the first one. Yes. You know, on side A, I have Rip It Out on side B.
Okay, we're still good, yes. Love the song.
One of my favorite A songs. Now, I guess Peter has to do all of the drum part, so I don't know how that's going to work, but whatever.
Well, back in that, I think Peter could have done that stuff. It wasn't
especially if you gave him enough coke. JK, Peter, JK.
Yes. He ain't listening, because he don't do
bumpers.
He don't do bumpers. Anyway, all right, my first song on side one, I just wanted to reassure people that the album was rock. And, of course, I put Tonight You Belong to Me.
Gotta love it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's probably one of the best openers, or maybe to me the best opener, I think, on any of the Kiss records. That's my opinion, of course.
Yeah, it's got that classic Kiss formula Black Diamond thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Cool. Jody?
Okay, so for my side B, we're moving into the lighter side of things. And I was thinking about that because, think about it, at the time, that would have been kind of like something that no one else had really done at the time, you know, like a rock side and then kind of like an acoustic side almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would have been maybe a selling point for the band, and they should have used my ideas. Anyhow.
All right, go. Go ahead. First song.
Okay. So I started it off with Man of a Thousand Faces.
Nice song. Good song.
I always love that one on the Gene record. And I think it's a great song and not completely jarring as far as going from rock to, it kind of rocks a little bit, you know?
We kind of
flow with the order a little bit. But this side kind of was tough for me to make because, as you know, I don't really, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Peter's record or Gene's for that matter. So it was kind of tough. That's why I decided to do it this way. Because to me, if I was making a full record, it was really hard to sequence in anything from Peter's and make it fit with the rest of the songs. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of Gene's as well. So, but this way, it's kind of like, you know, you got two sides of the coin or whatever. You get the dark and the light, the heavy and the light, you know?
Oh yeah, I get it. It's awesome.
So, yeah.
Sonny, song number two.
So, Paul's album was tough for me because I had a tough time paring it down to three.
Dude, me too.
Yeah, sure.
It was easier on Ace's album, but it was harder on Paul's. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to put any Paul ballads on. So after Rip It Out, you get Love in Chains.
Yep.
Like that one a lot, too.
Yeah. Love that song. Paul's solo, I'm so good. It's so
You could put all of Paul's on there. You know, no one would really complain.
It would have been a good Kiss record, you know.
Yeah.
For me, I went with Peter, and this was going to be the ballad. I wanted to put the ballad on the song that Peter could sing and go, hey, look, I got a million of them. and that's I Can't Stop the Rain.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to see him do it live.
Yeah. Yeah, right after I got out of the rain, which was really funny. Literally.
Right.
And we were in New York, as you know, at the beginning. He's like, hey, it's New York.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The king of synchronicity strikes again.
Yes, it worked out. Anyway, let's see. Jody's song number dos.
So I haven't really had any ballads, so I figured it's about time for probably the only really slow one I picked. And I had to go with Don't You Let Me Down because I do love that song and think of it as kind of like a Beth or something for this album. You know what I mean? So, yeah, pick that one. I've always thought that was a great one.
Yeah, man, you know. As we're sitting here, we're still able to find nuggets, you know, in Peter's record, you know.
It's just you got to be in the frame of mind to want to hear that kind of music. But if you want to hear that kind of music, he's top-notch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that one's like a Motown. Like, Don't You Let Me Down is like a great Motown song. You know what I'm saying?
So. I think the mistake that they made was releasing them with the Kiss name on there. Because then people expected Kiss, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least a bigger, I know they did some big press stuff, but maybe something where they would have said, hey, this is going to be different. You know, this isn't going to be exactly like.
Yeah, in the promo, they should have been like, now you can experience all the styles and flavors that come together to make America's favorite rock group Kiss. Or something to that effect, you know?
Yeah, you know.
It wasn't so jarring because most people, I think, bought Gene's first because he's the face of Kiss, right? And his, it's like, I mean, I got it first. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Granted, I was like maybe 10 or 11, but still, it was still just like, what in the world?
I thought all 11 of Gene's songs were going to be like She or God of Thunder.
Exactly.
Right at that point, I didn't know Paul wrote God of Thunder. So when I saw on the back jacket, When You Wish Upon a Star, I'm like, the Disney song? That can't be the Disney song.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, okay, you know. The first solo album I got, though, I got Peter's record. Mom took me to the store. I got the Peter record. I put it on. I took my blank piece of paper. I put it on the record. I started tracing his face, you know.
Did you leave the makeup off so you could see what he looked like?
No. Oh, man. I'm having a flashback right now to that day. It's so amazing. Mom's record player. You know, anyway, let's see who is next. Who is
I'm at third one on side B. So,
okay,
I wanted to stay away from See You in Your Dreams. And I wanted to stay away from CU Tonight because I think those are the ones that I would have put them both, pulled them all, both off G's album if I had the choice. But I went with something a little odder, so I went with Mr. Make-Believe.
Nice song.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Right after Love and Chains, too, so it fit well.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
And you know, the funny thing is I went with See You Tonight.
Did you?
Yep.
Right on.
You can't argue I like that song. It's a good one that they seem to play a lot more now. You know what I mean?
It's not such cool a gem like that. It used to be.
Yeah.
Or a deep cut, rather.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a great Jody.
One. For my third one, I kept it in the Peter Criss vein, and I had to do You Matter to Me, because it is one of my favorites on the album. And I even covered it back in the day and made it into a punk rock song, believe it or not. So you can find that on Strange Ways if you want to dig for it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yep.
I think you put it in right here.
Nah, we'll spare that. If they want to hear it, they could fucking dig it up on Strange Ways. Just Google it. It's out there. You can find it. It's
okay.
Free.
Side two, four, song number four, Sunny.
All right, so we're going back to Ace with one of my favorite songs off of Ace's album, Snowblind.
Because
I completely stayed away from New York Groove. If I don't hear that song again, I'm good. And I wanted to stay away from the covers anyway.
Right.
Right, yeah.
I really liked hearing Madison. Did you listen to the recent Kiss Room where Madison sang New York Groove?
Yeah, yeah.
That was so sweet, dude.
That was good. That was really good.
Yeah, I know exactly how Matt had to be feeling. You know, he's grinning ear to ear on that one. I guarantee it.
Oh, I would have been boo-hooing.
Yeah, dude. You know he had a couple tears, too. I wasn't going to say that, but yeah. You know he did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I even did.
I get it.
And I've never even met her. You've met her, though, huh, Joe?
I have met her. I went to a carnival with her. I won her a goldfish.
That's awesome.
I won her a goldfish at the carnival, and then Matt, on the way home, it died, and she made Matt go to the store and buy her a new one. I cost Matt money.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
All right, Joe, you're up.
Okay. Number four, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
I did want to make sure that I put another rock song from Peter on there, so I put Hooked on Rock and Roll.
Nice.
Nice song.
You got to have that one.
Yeah, you got to have that one on there, I think.
One of the coolest lyrics that Peter's ever recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, just a good song. Yeah. I don't have any complaints about it. Peter, you know, it's like so strange because Peter's album has such an emotional attachment to it. You know, and I've said it on the show, you know, how many episodes are we into this, you know? I've
said it, whatever.
I've said it so many times. I love Peter's solo album. I can't bring myself to listen to any of his other solo stuff a second time.
A second time.
I've listened to it now and I've gone, all right, let's pack that away. But his solo album with Kiss, he just had the right people with him, pushing him in the right direction and keeping him on track of what they sound they wanted, and it worked out great.
That's soul rock, right?
Yeah,
that's what he called it on the Black Box interview. He called his music soul rock.
Yeah, it was really great.
It totally is.
Next song for you, Jody.
Okay, for me, I have we're going back to Gene Simmons, and I have Always Near You, but I'm just gonna have them edit off the whole Nowhere to Hide crap, all right? Because I love the Always Near You section, but when he goes into the Nowhere to Hide and starts like trying to do his like Jim Gillette, I just don't like it at all. But the whole opening half is killer, I think.
Yeah.
But when he starts like, you know what I'm talking about, with this whole like super high pitched screams at the end, I would have totally cut all of that. Like,
I don't know why. I don't know why they did that. And it's funny that you would compare him to Jim Gillette, but
there is not another podcast in the world right now talking about Jim Gillette
and Gene Simmons.
Have you ever seen the his like super scream? I'm sure you know how he is. But recently,
Nitro. I used to like that stuff. Yeah, Nitro. I liked it. Yeah.
Well, on YouTube, there's just like a clip of Jim Gillette who just takes it his full range from low to high, right? But I was showing that to Amber the other day, and then we got on this thread where there's like about 150 different people doing their tribute version of Jim Gillette's Scream. It's fucking hilarious, man. You gotta look it up.
I'm gonna have to look it up.
Just like Jim Gillette tributes, all you gotta type in, and like hundreds of them come up. All these people are like, and they take it all the way as high as they can. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh my god. Well, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but you know that Michelangelo double neck.
Yeah, didn't you play it or something?
Yeah, I got to. You told me that. He did an expo or something at our music store, and it's two guitars that clip together in the middle. Which was really and really heavy. And I got my picture with it, and I don't know where it is, and I really wish I could find it. We had a the drummer from Megadeth come and do a thing at our store, and he set up the drums and then went out to lunch, and I was like, you shouldn't have left them there. And I went right on out and sat on the Megadeth kit and played and got my picture taken. It's like, you know, anyway,
right.
He lives around here, so I got to watch out. But anyway, let's see. What song are we on? We're on number five for Sonny, right?
Yep, my last Peter song, and I went with one that's a little more up-tempo, so I went with Rock Me Baby.
Yeah!
Right on.
Yeah. We're all over the place.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all noticing that right now. You know, I tried to keep the what I thought were the hits in for me, you know?
Right.
Which was pretty cool. My fifth song is New York Groove. But I just felt like it had to be in there. You know, it was so important.
It's extra sweet.
Yeah, to Ace's album, I think, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever see Paul Stanley? He used to always, like, on his solo tour in the 80s, he'd be introducing the band. And then when he gets to himself, he'd always be like, and I'm Ace Frehley. And then they'd go into New York Groove.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That was at the one I saw where they played Toads. I saw that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Just an odd thing to do.
It's cool.
Yeah, Jody, you're number five.
Number five is actually Mr. Make Believe.
I like that song.
You had that one too, right, Sonny? Make Believe?
Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. Very Beatlesque. And, you know, I'm a big Beatles freak, so, yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine why, but okay.
You know, I used to feel that same way. Because, like, the Beatles were my mom's music. But the reason I got on the Beatles, I was like, dude, I'm just going to learn how to play all these Beatles songs because it'll help me learn different chords. You know what I'm saying? Back when I was a kid.
Right.
And then once you start doing that, you start realizing, geez, man, these guys are fucking genius. It's crazy.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Do it, Joe. I would put you to the test. Learn like a couple Beatles records.
I've had to learn a few Beatles songs, and I'm playing it, and I'm going, I like the Stones better.
Yeah. But the Stones are a totally different animal.
Yeah, that's why I like them.
Yeah, I like the Stones, too.
You know,
there's just something like in the way that John and George chorded things that's totally different, all those weird passing chords and shit. I never knew anything about it until I started learning those songs.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah. Beatles.
Sonny, last song for your Kiss record. What was it called again?
Taking Flight.
That's right.
So after being all over the place, I'm worried now that Joe and I might have the same last song.
Oh, man.
But I had a Paul song left, and it's the last song, so I had to go with Goodbye.
No!
Perfect sense made.
Okay. It does make... That's perfect, but no, we do not have the same song.
Shoo! Yeah, so I went with Goodbye. Yeah.
So wait. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah. So Jody did not close with a Paul Stanley song. He closed the first side with a Paul song, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I closed with Move On.
That's Move On.
Uh-huh. Do it again.
I can't.
See? Getting somebody to sing that doesn't want to sing. Karen, my girlfriend, my lovely, amazing, beautiful girlfriend, called me yesterday and left a voicemail where she's singing on it. And when she hears this, she might have a car accident. Because she thinks I'm going to play it, but I'm not going to play it.
We're going to save that for the live show on Wednesday.
Yes, absolutely. Anyway, okay, so Jody, your final song is...
I close it out strong with Hooked on Rock and Roll.
Hooked on, man, Peter Closer.
Well, you know, my whole side was I had to fit three in, so I had to do it this way. And of those, I think it's a good closer. Because it's like, man, Kiss is all about rock and roll. Preaching about rock and roll. So they're hooked on rock and roll. Vaccinated with what?
A Victrola needle.
Yes, sir. One of the coolest lines Peter's ever uttered.
I agree, man. I would even put that to the test against, I mean, how many other Kiss songs where you get something so inventive? You know, he was vaccinated with a Victrola. First time I heard that, I was like, what the hell is he saying? Then my grandmother was like, hey, get your record off the Victrola. I'm like, she just said it too.
Yeah.
And that's how I figured out what a Victrola was.
Right. It's definitely a few clicks above, like something like the lyrics to Dance All Over Your Face or something like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's a great closer. In this context, anyhow. If it was up to me, though, if I was really making this album, I would have maybe had like one or two from Peter, one or two from Gene, and then I could have had the rest of the Paul songs that I feel like I'm missing. You know.
Yes, I hear you. Let's see. I did put out there the challenge out to other people, and a few of you guys put it, did it. So I'm going to go ahead and read these. Is that cool with you guys?
No, fuck that. Of course it's cool.
Sonny, did you have any of them written down?
Yeah, I got the three that were on Facebook and that one stupid text I got. But
how about this? I'll do Kalen's.
Okay, I'll do Greg.
You do Greg, and then I'll do Chris.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Okay, so Kalen is our amazing young listener. Very loyal to us. We love her very much. She's up there in Canada, eh? And I believe Canada. She's in Canada.
Cool.
Anyway, the title of the record is Let's Rock. Songs go like this. Right. Radioactive. Love in Chains. Rip It Out. Hooked on Rock and Roll. New York Groove. Man of a Thousand Faces. Wouldn't You Like to Know Me? You Matter to Me. It's All Right, Speeding Back to My Baby, See You Tonight, and I Can't Stop the Rain. I want to point out that she ended with a Peter song, too.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to say that would be a pretty fucking rocking album, dude.
I think so, too.
Great choices.
Yeah,
nice sequencing. Good job, Kalen. Yeah. I dig it.
Way to be. Go ahead with Greg's.
All right, so Greg Johnson wrote to us that he'd have Ezrin produce. Mm-hmm. His title was Kiss True Confessions. He's going to start side A with the intro to Radioactive into Man of a Thousand Faces. Then he's going to go to Hooked on Rock and Roll, then Snowblind, then Rock Me Baby, then Burning Up with Fever, and he's going to close out side A with Wiped Out.
Nice.
Flip it on B. He's going to start with Take Me Away Together as One. Then he's going to go with When You Wish Upon a Star. I was very interested to see that. Then go to Ain't Quite Right, which none of us picked. Then go to Easy Thing, which none of us picked.
Wow.
Then his fifth song was Goodbye, and then he is going to hand it off to Eddie Kramer and end it with Fractured Mirror.
Nice.
Yep, yeah, that's good. None of us picked
Fractured as well.
Nope. Yeah. Chris Dahl, I will now read his list of songs.
Hey, Chris. We had Chris on the on the live show, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
What's up, Chris?
It's called Kiss the Solos.
Okay.
Side A, Rip It Out. See You in Your Dreams. Wouldn't You Like to Know Me? Radioactive. I Can't Stop the Rain. And New York Groove. Flip the record over and you get Tonight You Belong to Me. See You Tonight. Tossing and Turning, Take Me Away Together as One, Don't You Let Me Down by Peter, and finishing off with Fractured Mirror.
Cool. So two closers with Fractured. That's
Fractured
pretty cool.
Mirror, yeah.
Yeah,
cool. And then you got a fourth one. Was it from a friend of yours?
Yeah, so a friend of mine, his name is Tony Musalem. He actually did, he helped us on the Family Feud thing.
Tony?
Right.
He didn't follow the rules, and I'll tell you the title at the end because it'll be special for Joe. Oh, so he's got a four-side double LP.
Oh, Cool.
The A side is Rip It Out, Wouldn't You Like to Know Me, Radioactive, and Love in Chains. The B side is Snowblind, Tonight You Belong to Me, Living in Sin. The C side is Speeding Back to My Baby, See You Tonight, New York Groove, and It's All Right. And the D side is a green blank disc because the album is named Fourth Side Intentionally Left Blank because Peter's stuff doesn't fit this album. He texted me that like 3 hours ago. I'm like,
that's great.
Oh, come on.
That's funny.
And we had to, but he gets away with not doing it. It's not fair.
Yeah, the right?
That's funny.
Oh, that's great.
Well, we really appreciate you guys getting involved in this. See, it's fun. You know, anytime you guys, don't forget we have a group on Facebook, and that's where I post all week long. Jody posts in there, Sonny posts in there, sometimes D-Rock posts in there, and we'll ask questions, what you guys think and stuff like that. And I think whatever we're going to talk about next week, we're going to get you guys involved again because you did it and it was fun. And thank you guys for participating.
Yep. Let me ask you this real quick, since we're on the whole solo. So if they didn't do the solos and picked anybody's, yours, mine, Sonny's, Kaylin's, whoever's, do you think that record would have maybe kept the band together, would have not led to the whole downslide of Dynasty and everything else? What do you think the results would have been?
Well, I think they had a better chance at selling a million or a million and a half or 2 million of one of our records than they would have at a million per piece, record, yeah. You know, a piece. You know, they shipped a million each, you know.
Obviously, but...
And, you know, it's like... And look, don't get me wrong. It was innovative and different, and if it would have worked, we'd be sitting here talking about how amazingly smart it was, right?
Right.
And even though they talk about it's, they sold, modestly well, I don't think anybody was sitting there with them going, hey, what happens if they buy the, you know, Peter or Gene's record first? It's so different than Kiss. You think it might turn them off? Nobody was sitting there thinking that because they just, truthfully, they were thinking, whatever we put out, they're going to buy.
Exactly.
Okay, I apologize because that's my opinion, but that's could be what they were thinking. That's, you know, they could be, thought. You know, they could have just been sitting there going, whatever we put out, they're just going to buy anyway. And they didn't expect that, you know, Kiss fans were going to go, no.
Yeah.
You know,
they should have maybe, thinking, what if they would have done it like one of them came out and then like 2 weeks, a month later, the next comes out.
I agree. That might have helped, you know, and it would have given each of them an opportunity to go, all right, so Paul's album came out and this is what it was like. And now Peter's album's coming out and it's different. It's very Motown-esque and, right. You know, you know, it could have described it better and given people a little time to absorb that, you know, and I don't think Kiss fans object to a Motown record. I think they just object to a Motown record when they see the name Kiss on the album cover and they're not told, hey, this is more of a Motown record.
Right.
See, what I was thinking is when I was writing it up, I'm like, you know what? To appease the four members, what you can do is release this album I got and then release four singles on the same day. So I was thinking you could release Radioactive, and I Had You Matter to Me as a B-side, Rip It Out, B-side, Move On, release Goodbye, A Man of a Thousand Faces on that one, and then Don't You Let Me Down and Speeding Back to My Baby on the B-side. And then you can see which singles would do better and see if that would appease everybody.
Hmm. So no New York Groove single?
No. Because I'm thinking if you got this, you don't need New York Groove because you got the best of everybody's.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
It's interesting that Peter was the only one that had two singles, where everyone else on the solos just had the one.
Right.
Well, you know why that was.
Yeah, but it's just kind of cool.
Let your backbone slip here on Podcast Rock City.
Yeah!
So, thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. Jody, got anything to add?
I would add, thanks so much, everyone who listens, because we did finally hit that million in less than a year's time. Well, a year's time. But, yeah, man, we hit another million. So thank you so much for helping us do that.
That's so amazing. It's, yeah. I, you know, It's amazing. You know, we all sit in our houses and we just talk on Skype, and you guys listen to it, and we appreciate it so much. We love you guys, man.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Sonny, you got anything to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody for the support. People reach out to me all the time and just, you know, say kind things. And I think this might be my 10th episode with PRC. So that's kind of cool. And I saw more pictures of A-Tracks this last week than I've seen my whole life. There was people sending all kinds of stuff. It was crazy. It's so cool that the fans are engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. I got pictures of A-Tracks as well. It's really awesome. Thank you guys for listening. A million in a year. It's unfreaking believable to me. You know, all I wanted to do was a KISS podcast with some friends, and they all, you know, got busy and bailed on me, and then I made new friends and even more new friends, and now we got Sonny in the group, and it's awesome. D-Rock I really appreciate you guys doing this with me. I can't say it enough, and thank you enough. You know what I'm going to say. We love the podcasts, and we love KISS podcasts. And you're going to hear the commercials at the end of this show in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Do you love it loud? Then plan to attend the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, one-day event celebrating all things rock and roll. Over 20 rock podcasts from all over North America recording on site. Panel discussions with producers that have worked with Ozzy, Slayer, KISS, Y&T, Seven Dust, Dokken, and more. Celebrity signings and meet and greets with current and former members of Cinderella, Winger, Tora Tora, Collective Soul, Ty Kettle, The Monkees, with more to be announced. All that and record dealers slinging some sweet vinyl. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo takes place Saturday, August 26th at the Music Valley Event Center. More information available at NashvilleRockinPodExpo.com as well as on Facebook. The Nashville Rockin' Pod Expo. Feast your ears!
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the KISS Room. The KISS Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. KISS! It's your place for all things KISS and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The KISS Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
History Science Theater. The most civilized?
Yeah.
Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
KISS Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
All right, KISS Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podkissed. Every month, the podkissed crew, along with the KISS Room, brings you KISS talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great KISS fun.
Hi, this is Dave Fraley, and you're listening to podkissed.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkissed.
The Podkissed, the KISS audio fanzine for your ears.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new. What are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
Woo! Rock and
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.